Hello.
Hello. Is the representative from Los Angeles on the line?
Yes. what are you doing?
I'm recording our conversation as part of a legal brief.
Just say hi like a normal person.
I say hi all the time.
Uh-huh.
Every week I say hello.
Okay.
And generally I say hello exactly the same way you say hello, just because it's an unconscious reaction and that's what people do.
Uh-huh. But today...
Today I'm all full of pasta and zest. One of those is a real thing.
The zest?
Not like literal zest, I mean.
Oh, figurative lemon zest?
Yeah, not lemon zest, figurative zest.
It's too bad. Lemon zest has a lot of flavor in it from the essential oils in the lemon skin.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's useful in cooking and things.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's quite tasty. More flavor than lemon juice.
Yeah, also.
In an equal amount.
Not juice. It's not
lemon
a liquid.
Juice?
That's probably its primary identifying characteristic in my estimation, is that it is not a liquid.
Well, of course not. It's zest.
Yeah. Zest is not a liquid.
Absolutely not. I'm glad we're in agreement.
It's important to clear these things up at the top of the conversation.
Do you know what else has both zest and juice?
I feel like you're going to say Star Trek.
No. Aren't you glad I didn't say lemon?
Is that a flavor of kombucha?
No, I just wanted to do the orange you glad thing. So anyway, you were saying something.
Oh, I was just saying, how's your Monday? It's still Monday, right? How's your Monday?
Well, I don't usually like to disclose what day of the week it is because it's an evergreen podcast.
And yet, I always do it.
I don't know why, because it's not,
so that, so resistant.
It's just not really super relevant because it's not like it's going to be edited and released and they'll be like, oh yes, Monday.
It's
what a day.
It's not for the audience to connect with the day of the week that we record. It's for us to commiserate about what day of the week it is live. So don't think about the future. Think about the now.
Do you have a case of the Mondays?
I mean, kind of. I mean, I generally don't like Mondays. Today feels like more like a Tuesday for me.
Oh.
Probably because I started working in my head yesterday, and then today I could actually do the work.
Oh, your union boss wouldn't let you go in to work? I mean, what do you mean?
Yeah, no, I had other things that I had to mm-hmm. attend to on the weekend.
Mm.
It was a very full weekend.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I consumed a lot of food and beverages.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us were alcoholic.
Your Dan's succulent account was tweeting a lot of succulent photos from Chandler,
uh-huh.
Arizona.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Is it wrong that I kind of like make a little bit of a frown and shake my head when people like those photos, because like it's an absurd parody account. Like it shouldn't be taken seriously.
I know, but I favor every single one of them.
Because you absolutely love the succulent in the photo, or just because you're like, oh, there's that joke again.
Yes, the same, the latter thing.
Okay.
I mean, you haven't taken a photo that's especially beautiful. I'll be perfectly honest with you.
No, it's not the point.
No,
the point is for it to be a farce. That it's, you know, mm-hmm. it's
yeah, you can't see the farce from the succulents.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a title that somebody should type into the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's you know, they're meant to be bad photos. And up until recently I had a rule about not attributing the photo to whoever took it, because that just, you know, that was that added to the badness of it. It's a lifestyle Instagram blog that has no aim or use or credibility. But recently I started feeling bad, so I started tagging the taker of the photo in the photo.
I like how you are going to such great lengths to tell everyone how above the parody farce account you are.
Well, I am the farce, so there's that.
Yes.
It's just, yeah, it's I do what I can to make it intentionally stupid, and then I feel bad that it's not intentionally stupid enough, so then I try to be more reasonable about it.
Oh, okay. Well, you use the farce, Dan.
Okay, I gotta stay away from words like farce or words that could be mistaken for force, because...
I mean, words mean things.
Some of them do.
And then sometimes they also sound like other things. And you can switch them up. Do a little switcheroo.
Punaroo.
Yeah.
How was your nondescript day of the week?
It was okay.
I guess, I mean, how was your weekend, since we're talking about weekends? Did you take any pictures of succulents?
No.
Care to elaborate at all?
Not really. I mean, nothing really super eventful happened. I was downtown twice this weekend, which was twice too many times for being in downtown Los Angeles for me.
Don't you go down there like twice a year?
Yeah, I'm maxed out now, I guess. But yeah, I don't particularly love downtown Los Angeles. It has a crusty exterior, shall we say, that I don't particularly find comfy or cozy or appealing or whimsical in any way. So that, I know there are a lot of people who are super into it, because I was around some of them, and they all seemed to be into it, and I was not there.
Did somebody drag you to like an art exhibition or something?
No. We were meeting out of towners for things, and then also the next day we were shopping for a thing that had a store there.
Were they the out of towners who were like, we don't really know much about Los Angeles or where to stay, so we'll just stay in downtown?
No. They did it on purpose. Yeah. They're very nice, and I hope they had a lovely time. I just, it's not my jam.
Has some sort of attraction cropped up in downtown Los Angeles since I've been there last that I am unaware of?
Not really. They just have new restaurants and things that open, and shops and things. Like, they're building up the area around the Ace Hotel. There's a Whole Foods Market. You didn't go to the Whole Foods Market the last time you were in town.
Which one's the Ace Hotel? Is that the one that looks like that building from Detroit with the round parts?
Maybe. It's near the Eastern building. You know, the one that in Predator 2 he gets up on top of and gets zapped with lightning for no reason?
Right. Where he yells and stuff.
Yeah, he lifts the spine up in the air, and he's like, yeah, and then that happened in the movie.
That's the one from the poster, isn't it?
Well, that frame is not used in the poster. There's that weird painting that has all kinds of broken perspective that's
right.
supposed
to
be depicting that.
Right, yeah, where his foot is not really on the... Wasn't he like standing on a flagpole or something? I forget.
I don't know. It's like he's doing some sort of weird surfing pose. It doesn't... It's sort of partially reclined. I have no idea what they were going for with that.
it's his place of leisure where he takes his skulls.
Yeah. But anyway. How are you?
I'm fine, I guess. I got stuff to do. So
you sound like you're peppier than usual.
I think
which I think is definitely throwing me off.
Oh, should I tone down the pep?
No, it's just that I'm just confused. Did you take something? Are you on anything? Are you hopped up on the Mary Janes or something? Like, what is happening?
I recently consumed a large quantity of pasta.
So you have some sort of carbohydrate sugar rush from that?
I mean, I guess.
Just makes me sleepy.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't sit down afterwards. I was walking around in a circle in the living room watching the last little bit of The Matrix. So, I mean, it was that.
What? Any particular reason you were walking in a circle, like around the coffee table, like pacing your confines? Like, what was happening here?
Yeah, basically, I mean, you know, got to get some steps in, and I had a moment before we started the show. So,
that was your exercise.
Yeah, I walked in a circle. No, we went for a walk earlier today too, but you know, I haven't closed my walk loop yet. I'm very close. There's like 2 pixels between the little red loop there. So, I want to close.
Well, if you walk in a circle, that's a loop. So you close the loop.
Sure. I can't walk on my watch, though, because probably
sure
break.
You can.
It would probably break. And then I would have one fewer Apple product, and that would make me sad because I'm supposed to have lots of Apple products, aren't I?
I suppose.
Speaking of Apple products, my ear pods just banged into my microphone.
Okay. You should get AirPods.
I should, yeah. Yeah, I really should. Mm-hmm. But I haven't done that yet. I hear they're still back ordered and stuff.
Yeah, I know. Not gonna. Also, don't do that because they're Bluetooth and we're on a live call. So you'd be introducing some lag for no reason.
Mm-hmm. I had a conversation with a client recently. I don't know what application he was using, but he called me through his computer. And the first hilarious result of that was that he accidentally closed the lid of his computer a minute before the conversation was over because he was getting ready to go to another meeting, and it hung up on me, which was fun. But then the other bit was that there was a delay of 2 seconds maybe. So I would say something and then it would just be silence. And I'd be like, oh God, he hates me. And then he would reply, okay, yeah, totally. We're on the same page here. But it was just, I had to build in that lag to start talking as soon as the words are done out of his mouth and then not get all weird because inevitably I would start talking and he would start talking and then it would one of us would pause to let the other one go. But then there's just a lag. So it just made it so much worse. It was comedy. Hilarious. Like
you're talking to somebody on the moon.
Exactly. It was just like talking on the moon. Except instead of little mirrors and flashlights, we were using an internet phone call.
Yeah, the Dan side of the moon.
Mm. Which side is the Dan side of the moon?
I'm guessing the dark side.
Maybe whichever side's made out of cheese, or is that all of it?
Well, obviously the entire thing is made out of cheese. You can't make half of a moon out of cheese. The density would cause the moon to crack in half.
Well, you can get one of those really hard French cheeses.
Okay, but still. No.
It's supposed to be green cheese, yep. Right? Was there ever an indication of what type of cheese it was supposed to be made out of?
I don't know exactly. it was never revealed to me. It seemed to vary depending on which cartoon I was watching. Sometimes it definitely was depicted as more of a Swiss cheese, and then times it kind of had a yellow cheddar-y tinge, but with the Swiss cheese holes, which I don't know what kind of cheese that was supposed to be technically, but... Mm. You can never really count on early 30s and 40s
cartoon depictions of the moon.
No,
I feel like most cartoon depictions of the moon tried to work in Limburger cheese because Limburger is a fun word to say, and it usually has smell lines that you can draw off of it, which is funny for animators and stuff.
Yes, I can't exactly picture any occasion in my real life where I've come across Limburger cheese. But it must have been all over the place back in the day because...
Yeah, it's one of those things, right? You think you're going to have to prepare for that as a youth, and then there's going to be Limburger all over the place when you're an adult. But no, I don't think I've ever... Have you ever eaten it, intentionally?
No, I don't think I've ever eaten it once.
Hmm. Is this a generational thing? Did the baby boomers eat all of the Limburger cheese and now it's extinct or something?
Well, the problem is we stopped going to the moon, Dan. So we don't have
harvesting all of our Limburger.
Yeah, we're cut off. We have no source. Mm. We gotta get the space program back up and running, and the only way to do that is to fund Elon Musk or Bezos and blast them off to the moon thing and do the stuff. Moonshot.
Interesting story about Limburger cheese. In the 70s, 3M tried to make their own version of Limburger cheese, but they really ended up making Havarti, which was a happy accident, which they now sell all over the place.
Wait, hold on. 3M, the Scotch tape company?
Yeah, 3M.
They make food?
See, what I did there was I took the story about how 3M tried to invent super glue and ended up making post-it notes.
Oh.
It was a happy accident, but I turned it into a cheese story.
Oh, you got me, Dan.
I yes ended my way right into a terrible corner.
Yeah, well, you did it to me and yourself.
You did it to us all. You a fan of the Havarti?
I do like Havarti.
It's good on a turkey sandwich or something.
Yeah. I mean, sandwich use only. I'm not gonna put it on top of pasta or anything.
If somebody put some Havarti down on your meat and cheese plate, you'd be like, "What? Why is this here? This doesn't go here. This goes on a sandwich."
I would eat that too. It's not particularly flavorful, but sure. I mean, most of the time when you go to somebody's place and they have a cheese plate, 97% of the time what they have done is collect some Tillamook or some Kraft and then the blocks and then slice that up, or they buy the pre-sliced ones, and those cheeses tend to have a how should I put this? A waxier consistency than most other like nicer cheeses. So I don't particularly enjoy that. And then, you know, they usually get a wedge of brie and they're like, hey, look, it's fancy because we got brie. And it's like, I just got to pick the rind off. And I know you can eat the rind. I just don't want to.
Yeah, you can tell it's fancy brie because they warmed it up slightly.
Oh, that's the best. They put it in the oven, drizzle a little balsamic vinegar on top, and then, you know, put it out in front of you with some Breton crackers.
Mm-hmm. Set it down, kiss your fingers, look the customer in the eye and say enjoy, and then, you know, do an about face and don't come back for 45 minutes.
Yeah. And then it all of the cheese oozes out of the rind, and you just have a sort of milky, glossy pool that nobody wants to touch. But anyway, back to crackers. this brings up an interesting point, because I don't know what kind of crackers you actually like, because people do have opinions on crackers. I know I have opinions on crackers, and I know that there are many people that we associate with that have opinions on crackers, but I don't know what your particular opinions on crackers are. If you're having a party and you're inviting people over and there's going to be meats and cheeses on plates, what crackers are you putting out for those guests?
Are you going to ask me to come up with like a brand name? Because I'm not sure I could come up with a brand name.
Brand or type. You can even say generic Wheat Thins if you wanted to.
You know, I do enjoy Wheat Thins. I've grown accustomed to them. They have a variety of flavors, but I think the regular Wheat Thins are a relatively solid accompaniment to various cheeses and meats and things.
Wrong.
Wrong. You know, what are those crackers that taste like drywall or whatever? The white ones that are kind of like rectangular but a little wavy. Like, usually see those laid out for dipping and things, but I don't know.
Have you ever put together a cheese and cracker platter?
Yeah, but you know, there's like you can buy the combo things. I'm not buying artisanal crackers down at the AJ's or the Whole Foods or whatever. It's like, you know,
you could even go to a Trader Joe's and get your assorted cracker pack.
I feel like that's what we do. We get an assorted cracker pack, but I don't really like pay attention to what's in it.
Oh well, shame on you, Dan. Crackers are important. But
it's Ritz crackers and what's that, the canonical saltine for everybody?
The classic saltine is a source of contention, because there's one company that I like that makes them round, and they're kind of more like Ritz crackers than they are like, let's say, the premium or Nabisco brand.
Nabisco,
saltines.
That's the ones that I'm thinking of. Yeah, because is there non-premium Nabisco saltines, or are they just all premium?
I thought premium was a separate brand from the thing.
There are two competing
brands. Anyway, it doesn't matter. they're virtually identical. In regards to the Wheat Thins thing and why I said you're wrong, is because that is not something you put up for a wine and cheese time, because they're too small to put anything on them. Yeah, and it's definitely true. Unless you're like having tiny little cheese cubes, in which case the cube is still going to have more volume than the cracker.
It's about the ratio. Maybe you want a larger cheese to cracker ratio.
I don't.
The cracker
think that
is really
accurate.
A vessel. As long as the cracker can get the cheese to my mouth, I don't really care how big it is.
Yeah, but okay. But
no, I know I'm doing it wrong. Tell me how I'm supposed to do it.
Yeah, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to buy the Wheat Thins and then just sit there and eat a couple and tell yourself you're only going to have 10. And then you're going to finish the rest of the box, and that's it. And you don't do that when company is around. You do that in the privacy of your own home when no one is there.
Do you actually count the crackers, or do you just say, I'll eat 10, and then you, like, you know...
You approximate, and then you just keep approximating.
It's like, oh, that was probably... I don't know, you say you're going to eat 10, but then you end up eating like 14, and you're like, that was probably 10. And you're like, you know what, I'll go to 15, and then you end up eating like 23, and you're like, yeah, that was 15, you're fine.
Yeah, and then you just start reaching around in the bottom, and there's just cracker crumbs, and you're just like, how'd that happen?
See, this is me to a T, but this is me with tortilla chips.
See, I can call it quits on tortilla chips pretty fast. No, they are no too way. Salty.
No, I love the salty. See, this is the thing. Like, I'll eat the tortilla chips. See, the first mistake is I usually
put too much... tortilla chips are making me thirsty.
Exactly. I usually put too much salsa in the bowl because you don't want to just, you know, start eating out of the jar because you'll eat the whole jar and then you'll be in for a hell of a night. I usually put a little too much in the bowl and then I'll eat it because I love salsa. And then the salsa will be gone. The bag of chips will still be there. And I'll just start slowly eating just like plain tortilla chips. And then I'll realize I've eaten like, I don't know, 20 just straight tortilla chips. I usually eat the smaller ones when they're not dipped in salsa or whatever. But like, I'll just keep eating the tortilla chips because boy, do I love tortilla chips.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, salt.
Too much salt.
Oh, I enjoy the salt. What's that brand that we both agreed that we like? So
Santitas.
Yeah, there you go. I don't have horrible taste in tortilla chips.
Yeah, well, also, they're cheaper than most of the other brands.
Well, and they taste like actual chips instead of...
Yeah, and not like the... But I think they're actually owned by the same company that makes the Tostitos.
Well, then, they make them in very separate factories or something. Or they make them in the same factory, but the Tostitos are made out of the box that the Santitas come in.
Yeah. So, I agree. I find them to be... vastly different. And then for some reason you go to somebody's house and they buy the Tostitos scoops and they put those out and they're like, here's our the Tostitos queso dip, here you go. And then you just stare at it and you're just like, this is disgusting.
Well,
just little tortilla buckets for me to chug partially melted hydrogenated garbage.
I'm gonna stop you there for a moment. I agree the Tostitos scoop is a terrible product, but the scoop shape itself is actually kind of a good idea. If you want something like that, you can get like a round out of a reputable brand because sometimes the rounds curve a little bit, so you can get some good scoop action there. But I'm from the suburbs, so queso dip is a thing I'm very familiar with, and I'm okay with it. Read also what is it like ranch dip or whatever? Doesn't Tostitos make a ranch dip?
Probably
like Lay's ranch dip. Have you ever done Lay's ruffle chips in the ranch dip?
Yeah, of course, because they put that out for the vegetables, and then you're just like,
no, it's not for vegetables. Oh yeah, the like two pieces of celery and the three baby carrots that are over there in the corner.
Yeah, and then you're just like, I'm gonna take this ruffle, and then I'm gonna rip right over here, right into the French onion dip or the whatever dip.
I see the French onion dip. I can't eat enough of, but there's like a limit on how much I can consume before it drives me nuts. But the ranch dip, I could clear that whole jar if my willpower and self respect let me. But you
have an affinity for ranch that I'm lacking.
This I do, and like a creamy ranch that goes on a ruffled salty potato chip. Get out of here, man! Like that's a good time right there.
Man.
Time
I miss
was.
When we used to do movies on this podcast.
What do you think Hellboy's favorite potato chip is?
Nachos, because that was the line in the movie.
Oh, right, nachos. Yeah. Did I ask you about tachos? Did I ask you about that?
Wait, what?
A couple weeks ago, God, how long ago was it? I don't know. We ended up at a bar just like on the way home. We're like, yeah, we're not ready to go home yet. We'll stop by this bar and get a drink or two. And then we're a little hungry, but you know, they had like a kitchen open till like 1 o'clock in the morning or something. So I was like, sure, why not? We'll take a look at it. And you know, the waiter fella, he was very nice. He was very adamant that this one thing on the menu was a big favorite of his. It is called tachos, and it is nachos, but instead of chips, it's tater tots. And it had a fair amount of like jalapeno, so it was like a spicy nachos. But on tater tots. And
were they literally like Orida?
Oh, absolutely.
Frozen. Okay.
This is a bar on the corner of a strip mall, so they're not making artisanal tater tots here.
I'm going to go ahead and judge this.
You go right on ahead and judge all you want, cuz they were delicious. I will reiterate that for the people who are just catching up. They were delicious, and when we were done, there was some left over, and he's like, hey guys, I gotta be honest with you, the tachos, they're one of my favorite things on the menu. You should take this home and tomorrow morning throw them in a skillet with some eggs and stuff and turn it into a breakfast like hash thing, and it is delicious. And I think we intended to do that. We took them home, we just finished them off before we got an opportunity to put them into some eggs.
Well,
So you should come out to Phoenix, and I'll take you, and we'll go get a couple drinks at the bar, and we'll eat some tachos.
No, thank you. you can take Jason when he comes out to visit on that business trip in a couple weeks.
He'll love it. It'll be an experience. They have a pool table outside on the patio.
Oh, how novel.
Because it's very pleasant outdoors most of the year here.
Yes. Well, I mean, it can't be that bad right now. It's kind of chilly here in LA.
Currently 83 degrees. I think we're supposed to get a light sprinkling of rain in the next day or two that's going to bring us down to the mid-70s for a day and then back up. Today was a high of 95, so that was fun.
Okay. Thank you, Weather Dan.
You're very welcome. I have three weather widgets in my phone for a reason. I'm very concerned with the weather.
Just because you want to know exactly how hot it is?
Well, that's the thing. Like, you got the Yahoo weather, which pulls from the airport, which is on the other side of a frickin' mountain, so it's completely irrelevant. And then you've got Weatherline, which is, you know, slightly more accurate, but it kind of lumps Chandler and Ahwatukee together, so it doesn't really know where I am, because Ahwatukee is closer to Chandler than it is to Phoenix. And then I've got Weatherline, which, you know, those weird nerds that have the little homemade weather stations or whatever. There's apparently somebody like on my block who has one, so I use all three of those in conjunction to see what the actual weather may be. So Yahoo right now reports 83, Weatherline reports 78, and local weather says 83, so it's probably 83. Or I can average and just say it's probably around 81.
No, you just need a fourth app that can average all of them together.
Well, directly underneath my weather widgets is pCalc, so I can just punch it in right there. I got my pCalc widget, so I can average my weathers right in a row.
Average my weathers. Okay. average.
Today workflows, today widget workflows are very important and near and dear to my heart. And that's not true at all. I don't care.
No. Well, see, you should get one of those backyard weather stations. Jason Snell has one that he uses at his place in San Francisco, because the weather that it tells him is always really super inaccurate for the local area that he's in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My father-in-law has one in his backyard, although his isn't internet connected because I think he's afraid of the governments and such. He's a tape over the eyesight camera kind of guy.
Why is he afraid of the government? His guy's in charge now. He can go ahead and hop on the internet.
Well, I don't, not so much. For anyway, but
Anyway, I'm sorry, I was joking.
No, it's we made it through all of the birthday things with all of the various people without going there, so I was very happy about that.
What an achievement.
It is an achievement around here.
Yeah.
You saw our billboard and stuff.
I did see your billboard by a Santa Monica artist, no less.
Yeah, and the person here who owns it says it's going to stay up for the whole term.
Oh, dear.
I feel like it's going to be set on fire long before that, but, you know.
Uh-huh. People don't start shooting at it. So, anyway.
They shoot at stop signs here, so they're going to shoot at that thing.
That's really messed up. But let's veer back towards, I don't know, anything else. So what else?
I don't know. You tell me. What else is new with you? Seen any good television or movies lately?
Nope. Next question.
I'm sad you didn't join in our goofy chat about the Hellboy over there in our member Slack. You're the pun master. Why didn't you come up with any puns? You didn't want to get into it.
I was busy, and then by the time I got to it, all the good stuff had been done.
There were only like four of them.
Well, like I said, all the good stuff had been done.
My favorite is like right after I said one, somebody immediately left the room.
Well, do you want to recap it for anyone who's unfamiliar with what you're talking about, which is probably almost everyone?
Oh, I guess, right, because this is not everyone's a member. Yeah,
that was generally... It's a good call, Dad.
Yeah, I don't know what I was, I don't know, drinking, smoking, consuming, whatever. I don't know what was in my head that I combined James Cromwell's character from LA Confidential with Hellboy, and I said, idea for a Hellboy sequel. James Cromwell plays an Irish demon in the 1940s Los Angeles, battling the mob, titled Hellboyo. And then Brian chimed in, Brian Hamilton, Hellboy has to infiltrate an Italian restaurant, Hellboy RD. And Rye said, I hope someone's writing this down, which we were, because we were using words. And I said, a shot-for-shot remake of Hellboy starring the members of Thin Lizzy, all playing Hellboy simultaneously called The Hellboys Are Back in Town. And then I suggested a movie detailing the struggles of growing up as a red demon, shot over 12 years, Hellboyhood. And I think, like one or two more down is when somebody immediately left the room. Anyway, so it went on like that for a while. And then some people got angry, and then you screenshotted and put it on Twitter and tried to sass me. But I got some nice smiley face reactions there. But this is totally your world here, man. This is pun, terrible, terrible puns.
I was busy.
Well, you can come back in. You can do some puns. It was like what? 4 days after we did the Hellboy episode, so who cares?
It's too late now, Dan. The moment has passed.
The moving hand has writ.
Yeah.
Boy.
Writ of Hellboyus corpus. So, anyway.
You got that defocused membership drive gift that you put in there. That was pretty good.
Yes.
You explained to me how you made that, and then I don't understand what you said.
Okay, well, I mean, I guess we could get into that. That's a topic.
It's a slit scan. People are all about slit scans these days, right?
No, not really. It's a very old-fashioned thing.
Tell us, Joe, how do you make a slit? What's a slit scan? What is this thing?
Well, I'm glad you asked. So the thing is, slit scan had existed for a very long time. It is mostly used in photography. For like panoramas and stuff, and like they'd use it for horse races to see who was crossing the finish line, because it is about exposing a very small piece of the film and then dragging what you're exposing across the film medium and exposing the rest of the film, so you can get some wacky effects from that, as you might imagine, since you're exposing the same frame over time. And it was used a couple times in some experimental film stuff, and then Douglas Trumbull, the guy behind the effects for 2001 Space Odyssey, as well as like a bajillion other things, noted master of his craft, came up with a special little rig to do slit scan for 2001 Space Odyssey for the Stargate sequence, which, for anyone not knowing what that is, it has nothing to do with the television series or the movie Stargate. It is the sort of slit thing that happens when Dave goes through the monolith, and there's wacky lights and stuff that are blowing past him on either side.
So let me get that straight again. So you cut like a thin horizontal line in a mask or whatever, and you put it over the camera, and then you expose an object that you drag like up or down.
Or left or right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then
depending on which way the slit is orientated.
Well, how do you use it to like fill the whole frame?
Well, you drag everything across and expose the frame, and then you reset the rig, and then you do it again a little further along, and then you reset the rig, and you do it anyway. It takes forever to make a very small amount of film with this method, as you might imagine, and that's why it's so that's why you didn't see everyone doing it, but you'd see people who would spend a lot of money doing it, and so you'd see it in 2001 A Space Odyssey, you saw it in Star Trek The Motion Picture, you saw it in Star Wars for the hyperspace stuff, you saw just a bunch of other things, Boss Film used it for some trails and ghosts and stuff. And supposedly, according to Colin Campbell, who is a compositing guy who is sort of one of the people who would be more knowledgeable than myself, he let me know that even the Rocketeer used it for the contrails that were behind the rocket pack for the smoke, so that it appeared to accelerate out and then stop and hang in air, which is interesting. I did not know that. There's also apparently some use of it in Willow and some other things. It's interesting. It's because some of the other times with slit scan, you can do stuff where you're exposing to get like streak effects and stuff.
I was gonna say, because you've kind of got like some warp stuff going on too, right? So this is not just like straight shooting through a slit, right?
See, here's the thing. What I did for the membership drive GIF was that I didn't have the patience to try to reverse engineer that, and instead I followed someone else's cheat that they had posted online, where they
you just googled slit scan tutorial.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what else are you going to do? Like, you knew how to do it off the top of your head.
No, I didn't. It looks cool, but I don't know.
Well, apparently there's a way you can do it with After Effects where you can use the time displacement layer effect thing, and then you can feed it a black and white gradient or map or something, and it'll displace the time to do effects, and you can use that with footage that you've shot and stuff. And there's some tutorials and stuff that actually do some really neat effects with that. But neat as in novel, not neat as in I can think of an actual application for this that you'd want to use it for. But in my particular case, what I ended up doing was just scaling it on. You'd basically take a sliver of it, scale it across horizontally the entire frame.
A vertical sliver?
Yeah, a vertical sliver, and then scale it across the entire frame. So it's spatial, it's not temporal. Mm. And then as the frame, and then you'd animate the underlying image that was being sourced to move from left to right. And then what would happen is that as it passed through that slit that was being scaled in one direction to fill the frame, it would just stretch out and it would cause that distortion effect that is very similar to what you saw in 2001. But obviously you can do like the streaks and other things that which rely definitely on like time. Whereas this particular thing doesn't, because the image I'm passing through is static. But that's how that was done. And so what happened was I took the defocus logo, I passed it through, and then corner pinned it so that it had the extreme sharp angle thing, like the 2001 Stargate. If you watch the footage of that, there is a very steep perspective. Because apparently they also projected this back out and then photographed on the planes or whatever, and then used a diffusion filter and all kinds of wacky stuff. So this approximates that. And instead of using the wacky abstract, like, op art stuff that they were using, backlit op art stuff that they were using, I just used the logo that we have for the show, where that gets stretched out, and so what you get are these bands where the lines in the logo just go completely horizontal across the entire thing, and where it curves on one side into the D shape, it causes a big old white stretch, and then on the other side where it has the pointy thing, it has sort of a pinched head or tail of it, because I also flopped the animation for that so that it would go the opposite direction on the other side.
Did your animated thing go right to left or left to right?
Well, both, because I flopped it. But it went... Well,
okay, so which side went into the slit first, the pokey side or the round side?
Well, the chicken did.
Why did the chicken enter the slit scan?
Yeah. to get to the other temporal dimension. But so the... screen left side, it's moving left to right. And on the screen right side, it's moving right to left. But that's not really super important, because it's also technically not like stopping in the middle of the image. It actually passes through the entire logo on both sides. So if you actually watch it, you can see where the tail and the head is of both of them as they pass through. And there's a midpoint where they cross one another and match up with the hues of the logo, and that's when I brought the logo back in, which had been in silhouette before then.
This is a good little animation here.
Yeah.
You also got the drive font down there. It says membership drive.
Well, it's not exactly... I couldn't find anything that... I couldn't find a free version of Mistral, so I just grabbed what... Because I have Typekit. I grabbed whatever the hell that was. I don't remember. But it approximated it, and so that just has a glowy neon effect. And then, of course, I did the thing that I always love to do, Dan, which is the glint node, your favorite.
The one that I'm not very familiar with, but you used it to great effect in the little canon animation thing.
Yeah, because what the glint node lets you do is give you horrible default settings, but then you change everything, and it gives you some really neat effects where you get sort of an exponential fall off of... a very bright hot point from your original image going to fading out. What was so funny? Right hot
no,
point?
No, I was going to say, you know, you got to multiply your alpha channel by five or whatever, because it makes it glowier or something is what I,
no.
I is what I discovered in your nuke comp, and then didn't understand why you did it. And you said, because it makes it glowier or whatever.
Yeah. Well, you multiply the image that you're feeding into it.
Well, you put a grade note on the alpha and you set it to five.
I think you're thinking of something else I did. But that glint is what gives you the super hot glowy stuff that seems to expand and contract around the edges of the letters. And then just to add some more dimensionality to it, there is noise that passes through the original logo that's being used, as well as a noise distortion that's passing through it. It's very mild, but it just gives it a little breakup. And
mild
then,
like some Havarti.
mild like some salsa. Nothing quite like mild chunky salsa.
Ew, ew, ew.
So watery.
Are you a mild salsa person?
I am not, but you know, you go to people's houses and they always have mild salsa there because there's always like that one aunt who can't have any spicy stuff, and they're still like, oh, this is too spicy for me.
Yeah.
Does it have peppers?
Literally my wife. Yes. I buy the habanero or ghost pepper stuff, and she's like, this medium's a little spicy.
Mm. Okay.
Anyway, I cut you off. Was there more to the glint and the things and
well,
the noises?
And then there's also to add another layer to it. I drew dots. I took a mouse and I clicked with a RotoPaint node, white dots, and then that gets stretched out with everything else. But
are those the little laser bits in the beginning there?
Yeah, that's the laser bits at the beginning and the end. They are also passing through during the middle part, but you can't really tell at that point because they're just little white dots. But those get stretched out. They use the same animation as the logo stretching, but they operate on a faster speed, so they don't have exactly the same timing. And then they have a time offset that changes the color in front and behind them so that they're magenta on one side and the bluish cyan on the other side for the logo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what gives you something that's more like a warp streak from Star Trek, that sort of thing.
Star Trek. What was your bid on this shot? How long did you work on this?
Like 5 hours. Just because of the render time, because if I had actually had like a render farm to do this, it would have been faster. But it turns out you sit there and you let your 2012 MacBook Pro go to town on this, and it's just like, I'm gonna cook your lap.
Don't you have a desk?
Well, I was over adjacent, so I had it on my lap, and then I just picked it up off of my lap and I balanced it on the edge of the chair so it could vent.
Does that mean you use Nuke with a touchpad?
Yes.
Oh my god,
it's a pain in the butt.
How do you survive? That's terrible.
Well, you have to use all those key commands for zooming that I don't ordinarily use for any particular reason, but trying to zoom with the trackpad is just not a good idea.
No.
No, and you never wind up going where you thought you would go. You're just like, oh, that's an interesting part of the screen that has nothing on it. Thanks. but yeah, it was all in Nuke on my Mac. And one final detail.
Mm-hmm.
After I did all that, I found a better way to do the streaks, but it was too late because I didn't find it until after I had posted that, where I had thought about it for a second. And I was like, oh, I had a better idea. And that is, instead of doing the time offset, which gives you a chunkier before and after streak, what you do is you slightly scale in X to get the just a little sliver before it passes through the normal other scale stuff that it's doing. So that way you get a little rainbow, like what I did for just for funsies. I took Jason Snell's Six Colors logo from his Twitter account because I didn't know where else to get it from, and then I saturation keyed it and just dropped it in the same comp, but then I changed the little white dots so that they had the rainbow treatment on them instead of the pink and magenta before and after thing.
I think you're probably the first person I've ever heard that uses a saturation key.
I don't ordinarily use it, but because his logo is literally color over white, it worked out okay.
Yeah, my dumb self would probably just make a white solid and do a difference or something.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, you could do that.
It's good looking. I'm looking at the six colors one right now. It's pretty good.
Yeah. I think that one might be slightly more visually interesting for color because it has four more colors than we do.
it lacks a little bit of our symmetry though, so it goes a little dead in that one spot for a little bit.
But. Yeah. Yeah, because it has the C shape to the six, yeah. Whereas ours just has that giant knot of lines.
I would have closed the C as an O just for the slit scan, just so there would be even on both sides, so it would be technically inaccurate, but just, you know, more color and stuff.
Yeah, I also kind of liked how it turned out where you get like a bit of a crawling effect across the edges.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
Yeah. It was a good waste of my time. but that one was easier because I already did all the work. So yeah, you just change nodes. Node-based workflows, Dan.
They're very good workflows. I wish my phone was node-based. Then I could do better workflows and stuff.
Yeah, well, what you need is the workflow app, which has nodes in it, but they're only one non-branching thing.
I used the workflow app recently.
Is there more to that story?
No, it was that thing that I sent to Merlin, which I probably shouldn't talk about.
Oh, yeah.
It's good that, like, when you hit that button, that it just puts the text in a message. It doesn't actually immediately send it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. did you actually talk to Todd earlier when he was testing a Skype setup?
No, he wanted me to test something, and I'm like, oh, great, I get to talk to Todd Vaziri, my favorite.
you were slow or something, because he called me, and I was like, I had Skype open on my laptop, because I just got it set up before I went eating, and then it popped up on my phone, and it said, Dan, ? I'm like, oh, my Skype app on my phone apparently works, and then I texted him with him for a minute, and then he called me, and I've used Skype on my phone. I've never used Skype on my phone before, that's weird. But we talked for a little bit. He's going to be on a podcast tomorrow with some people.
Oh.
Yeah.
He didn't tell me that. Why is he telling you all the juicy gossip?
Well, I was talking to him, and then you were all like, he stopped responding to me, and then I told him that Joe said that he stopped responding, and then we hung up, and I thought he was going to go call you now.
No. You didn't talk to me at all.
I got 4 quality minutes of good Todd time. I'm sorry.
I guess I'm just the the runner up. Oh, always the Todd's maid, never the Todd.
Oh, title. He said we should talk about the skip intro thing on the
I made a little ellipsis when he recommended that to me as well. They sent in the ellipsis. So for those who are not familiar, there is a skip intro button that is being tested only in the web client under some conditions for some people. It is not for everyone. It doesn't work on your TV or on your iPhone, only on the web client. So the chances of you coming across this are very small because I'm given to understand most people access it on their phones or tablets, and very few people sit there with it on their lap for the same reasons that I don't like to render things on my lap, just for heat. Now the
Joe likes a room temperature lap.
Yeah, I mean, some like it hot, but not me. Now the thing with that is that there are some people who have an objection to it because you're skipping over part of the scene, you're skipping over part of the experience of watching something. And then there's a more pragmatic side of things, which is it's not always non-skippable stuff for the atmosphere of a show, shall we say. And it can depend heavily on how you're watching something. And the quality of what it was that you were watching for the title. If it is a title card that goes, ta-da, show, and it's like, okay, great. Fantastic. I could have skipped that, especially if you're watching on Netflix where you're binge watching, which is the whole point.
Oh, that reminds me. I just recently binge-watched the second season of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and I gotta say, I enjoy the titles there, because it's that fun song.
Yeah, exactly. I don't skip over those, but there are some other titles where it's just like, do you need to see that? Maybe not. Maybe it's fun. Maybe you don't particularly enjoy it. But the bad thing is that in some people's eyes, like Todd's, that is very negative to the experience.
Well, I think he also mentioned, and Rye brought up in the chat room right now, that this could potentially jump over previously on sections, which can be very useful for people. I find that very useful because I have a terrible memory for things. So if I pick up in the middle of a sequence, I want to see that.
I thought I read somewhere that it wasn't supposed to skip over those.
Well, you know, this technology. First it starts with title sequences, then it's, you know...
Like I said, it's only in the web client, and I don't use the web client, and I don't care. But
can we agree it's a slippery slope, Joseph?
Nope.
The slope is slick.
Yeah, well, the slope is already slicked by having fast forward buttons and having like a whole freaking timeline bar where you can just skip around to wherever you want to go.
The slope was slipped as soon as we had physical reels of film that we could just put our finger in the little hole there and spin it faster.
Yeah, I mean, really. The death of civilization can be tied to the jog wheel. that's what ruined us all.
What's the iPod one? Click wheel?
Yeah, the click wheel.
Oh man, I happened to be in a restaurant on St. Patty's Day eating some food right when it decided to like turn into like a club atmosphere. Not really like, but like, you know, they have TVs everywhere and they were showing the Associated Music videos with the loud rap music they were playing, and I'm pretty sure I was sitting on the subwoofer. But one of the rap videos, one of the fellas was showing off as he was like in slow motion taking his iPod out of his ears and like wrapping the cord around it. I was like, oh boy, that's a first generation iPod. That is really embarrassing looking now.
Well, it's a hipster thing now.
Oh, is that the hipster thing? To have a music device that skips when you move and has a battery that dies in like 5 seconds?
Yeah, because, you know, it has the warmth and whatever and the novelty of people having moved on. So, you know, why not be a contrarian? I don't particularly care. But so anyway, I'm on the pragmatic side of this, of like, unless you're going to like tie people to the chairs, Ludovico style, and make them watch the show in a very specific, prescripted way, then it doesn't matter. Now, if there's a button that's like skip the entire show, then it's like, oh no, that's terrible. Then they're ruining the experience. It's like, okay, well, yeah, but
why would there be a button to skip the whole show? Let me sit down and enjoy some Netflix and click a button. Ah, that was enjoyable.
Get
back to my day. It's like
you get through your queue really fast.
You remember when that guy made that like hacked up Instapaper bookmarklet that showed the little saved box but didn't actually save it? It's just like that.
Yes. Add to my queue. Done.
Save for later. Yeah, done. And then it's just not there ever.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I don't care. If this is something that people that appeals to people, then they were already fast forwarding anyways. This is not like a street drug where it's like, oh no, we've got the skip intro button on the streets now. Kids are getting high on skip intro.
It's terrible. Have I complained about the way my wife fast forwards before on this show?
No. But I'm sure she would appreciate it, so go ahead.
Oh, she knows I complain about it all the time. So, you know, you're familiar with the DirecTV product, the suite of products, as they are?
Yes.
You know, they have that remote that has, you know, your regular play, pause, fast forward, whatever buttons, but it also has that just, like, jump really fast forward 30-second button.
Yes.
So when I'm fast forwarding commercials, I just hit the jump 30-second thing a bunch of times, and I land where I'm supposed to be, or I'm a little over and I hit the back 10 second button, and that's how we do it. Other people in the household use the old fashioned fast forward buttons and hit it 2 or 3 times, 4 times, whatever, so it's going really fast. And inevitably, since there is no automatic stop in that fast forward button, it goes way past. And then you try to hit the play button and you miss it though, and it's still going fast, and you're cursing and screaming, and you have to do the rewind button, and then nobody's happy. That is the improper way to fast forward, in my estimation, and she refuses to use the correct button.
Team Amanda.
You use the actual fast forward button.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a horrible person.
Jason has the genie in the set top box, and I have the whatever that peanut shaped remote is, that terrible
the
remote.
White one. It's like whitish gray. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I hit fast forward, and then I hit play right when I see the first frame of non-commercial, and then it starts from a couple seconds before, because if you're going at like the double fast, you know, mm-hmm. if you push fast forward twice, then when you hit play to resume, it doesn't actually start on the frame that you saw. It starts a couple frames before because it assumes that you needed that visual cue.
Right, yes, but it also does that with the jump 30 second button thing, so you could do that, and then if you miss, you don't end up going like 5 minutes over where you were supposed to go.
Yeah, but I also don't like pushing the button a bunch of times like an idiot. Just want to push it.
Well, you got to hit it at least four times to go as fast as you do with just hitting the 30 second button one time.
So no, I do twice, and then I wait for the first frame, and then I play.
See, but fast forwarding at 2x speed is so slow. That's horrible.
Okay.
It's slow. Okay. Then you have all that silence where you might have to potentially speak to somebody. That's horrible. That's not how you do things.
Enjoy the silence?
Mm. Now, by the way, we also have it's one of the Genie products. Apparently, there are like three different like hardware versions of the Genie. But my dad recently rage quit Cox, and he's about to rage quit DirecTV for the Cox Contour, whatever product thingy it is. And he's going to quit AT&T also because like the customer service people are stupid or rude or whatever. So he's going to show them by quitting and going to their competitor, which I explained
he's gonna
to him.
Be in for a surprise.
Well, no, he did, and he's got the Contour, which is pretty nice. He enjoys the Contour because it has like an Alexa voice thing, or he really enjoys that, and it's actually pretty fast, and it's a nice looking product. But he went to go give them back their stuff, or you know, saying like, you know, send me the box so I can mail you your crap, and they're like, oh, that stuff's so old, we don't even want it anymore. And it's like, you know what, I'm still using that, and I still pay a lot of every month, and you know, they only give the good stuff to the new customers. I think I tried to get a new updated box a little while ago, and they're like, oh, yeah, that'll be like $100. I'm like, no, just send me a new one, because I'll send you this one, because it's old and stuff. And they're like, yeah, we don't do that. Which is infuriating, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, well, I mean, they kind of already know that you're not going to threaten to quit, because you don't even cancel any of your cable packages.
That's true. I enjoy watching them, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, me and the other people around my household, in air quotes, enjoy watching them.
The other people. Other than your wife, who's included in that?
Nobody. It's only for use in my household, right? Because those are the only people who use my DirecTV login.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more.
It's not one of those things where you just give your login willy-nilly to people and they can just use it for all of the various on-demand streaming services.
No, of course not.
That would be against the rules, I think. I don't know. I didn't read my contract.
Yeah. Well, Jason watched Divorce on Divorce, I think, on the plane back from when he went to Hong Kong. And so
did he watch it with audio?
Yeah, he actually watched it. Okay. Not the usual thing. He even told me, oh, I actually watched it, not like usual. And I was like,
is it
okay,
because
okay.
You weren't there for him to explain it to?
No, I think he actually was genuinely interested in listening to something else. But so he had started watching it, and then he's like, I need your HBO login, because I pay for HBO Now. And I was like, slow down. Why? And he's like, oh, I, you know, want to watch the rest of this. And it's like, okay, well, the next time you come over, we'll watch it. And I was like, but why would I just start watching the series? Like, and he's like, don't worry, I'll explain it to you. And I was like, fine. So it wasn't cheating, because I was there, and I sat through the whole thing. That was left to watch from like episode 4 on. I think it's only like 8 episodes or something.
You missed the first 4 episodes of the series.
I think so. I don't remember exactly. I would not go back to it. It was incredibly awkward, that show.
It is awkward, but there's some humor. I think you missed some of the pivotal humor there in the beginning.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was some funny stuff that was there. It was just that there was a lot of scenes where there was just like some unbearable tension. I don't know. As a child of Divorce, I wasn't like, yay, let's watch something about people just tearing their lives apart. That's fun.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, as another child of Divorce, I didn't find it particularly triggering or anything. but I could see that, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, no, I mean, I didn't, I don't need to see anybody about it, but I didn't enjoy it.
I mean, you got the Sarah Jessica Parker there. You got the guy with the mustache who played Lowell in that one show.
I don't like either of them. Also, he was Sandman in Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, we try not to talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I have a very nice beer glass from that.
I'm sure that was worth the effort.
So, I think that about wraps up the thing.
Yeah, can you believe we talked for an hour?
No? Maybe?
See what happens when we don't prepare? We can do things.
I like the movies.
Movies are good. Well, I mean, You like talking about movies. We don't necessarily always like the movies.
Oh, no, of course not. I like the ones where I don't like the movie.
That would be irresponsible of us to like everything.
No. Yeah, we're not here to make friends.
Or influence people. I guess we kind of want to influence people, right? We want to be thoughtful.
Yeah, we want people to go, oh, hey, you know what? That was worth it. Listening to you two talk about something. I like that part.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we even give feedback about people who have listened to our things.
Yes. And sometimes they say nice things, and I like that. Sometimes they don't, but I don't like that as much. But it's fine.
Why can't everyone just love us all the time?
I don't know. I mean, can't they just show us the same compassion we show to all Spider-Man 3? to everyone
they
else?
Show us the same compassion that we show to Inuyuritu.
Lost in Space.
Or what's his name? Inception Boy.
Oh, Christopher Nolan.
Wow, I totally forgot his name for a minute.
Inception Boy.
I don't know.
Jeez. Dan.
I guess if I were to classify anybody as Inception Boy, it would probably be Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Hmm.
He was probably the most boyish person in that movie.
Yeah.
Hmm. Anyway, we probably stop now.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a waste of an hour and 1 minute of everyone's time. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for whatever this is. We'll talk about more movies sometime. Probably next week.
Mm-hmm.